and I have the opportunity to stand before you, to speak to you concerning the spiritual matter. And it is a shame of mine to sit in for this place, dealing with the attitudes that we have towards God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the church of this morning. And tonight we're talking about the scriptures and church and the doctrine. And then we'll talk about the other things that I mentioned concerning. I ask you to reward these things, and that will determine, really, who we are and what we are, and how we look at spiritual matters. And I hope the lesson this morning has for all of us to think about those things that we ought to think about. And as you look at this picture, as you see on the board, as we observe this, and we have some information and some see, what do you see in this picture? And there is evidence or things that you and I have before that we see. And once we see those things and then we look at them, what is our attitude towards that particular system? And clearer in the end, what is we see in the picture? How many of us have not only one copy of the Bible, but many? And as you think about that idea, and where did the word come from that we look at in the Bible? As the book that we have before us, where did these words come from? What makes them important? And as we look at our attitude towards these, we'll determine really what each one of us can do concerning those matters. And what do we see in the picture? What we see really is the Bible. Why is that important? If you do not open, and I do not open the Bible, what's this? And that of those that have what they call the family Bible, that they put on display on a coffee table or some form of something service. But in reality, what is it that is spiritual to anyone? And the Bible, if it's not you, we do not get to understand what God wants us to be and to do. We do not need to form an attitude. If we are not going to serve the master of righteousness, then God is calling us to be fulfilled. And as we talk about the importance of the Bible, what is our attitude towards the scriptures, the church, and the doctrine? Are they important? Is it something that we need to be concerned with in our life, that we will do those things that we see revealed in the scriptures? That will enable us to be a person that is one day added to the Lord's church. That the gospel has been taught unto us, that we understand that it is the power of God unto salvation. That's how important the Bible is. Since a person is what he does, it determines that by his attitude, it is essential that you and I have a proper attitude. And as I have this morning, the attitude is defined as a mental position with regard to the fact or to a person. And as we will look at the lesson this evening, how to really profit from the Bible. And how we can really profit from the Bible, or work again, we're looking at the book of James in chapter 1. And we'll look at verses 21 through 25. And James here reveals some things that really reveals unto us the importance of the Bible. As we begin in verse 21, wherefore, let on all filthiness and superfluity of darkness, and receive with meekness the invention of the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. It's important because it will enable us to have a divine soul. As you look in verse 22 of this same chapter, you see, but if he is doing the word of God here at home, deceiving yourself. And as you search the scriptures, and as I search the scripture, we see two things about being deceived. We ought not to let others deceive us, nor should we deceive ourselves. Because deception will help people. It is that which will cause Christ to be hidden from people by deception. We not know that it is deception. Because God is not harmed. For whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he will. As we look further in James, as you look in verses 23 and 24, we find that for as many of you to hear the word and not do it, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what kind of man he was. Why do we look in the mirror in a physical way? To try to fix what needs to be fixed. In fact, sorry, some of us need to have something different to change. Verse 25. But whosoever looks at them is first of all lazy. Notice now, and continue. Sorry, it's not something that you just do once. It's not just something that we just have not done that. But James is telling us here that whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a good worker. Because what? Those people and homes out here, you know, the son of God. Because a lot of people in the religious world don't want to believe that we need to do anything, because Christ has done it all. Now that Christ has done his part, God has done his part, the Holy Spirit has done his part, whose part is yours? My part. He has done the work. And if we do that, we'll be here. Now, as we continue to think about this, as I mentioned, we talk about the scriptures, the church, and the gospel. We need to recognize that God is the source of the scriptures. God taught this that he would reveal unto us his mind. As we noted this morning about God and about Christ and the Holy Spirit. He's all this. And the Spirit searches the deep things of God and reveals unto us the mind of God. So when you and I read these words, these are words from God that the Spirit revealed unto the prophets and men of the prophets and the apostles that can be known unto us. The mind of God. And God is the source of this. Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. and as possible for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and enlightenment, that a man of God might be perfect, servant, and shown to every good work, our truly and truth. You and I will need nothing else other than what He has given us in His word. We don't need the creeds of men, the doctrines of men. God is the mind of all that we need to know what He wants us to do, and it's up to us to do those things. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 21, for the prophet is not in the womb time, but the womb of man, or man, but only the end of it. Faith is able to move by the Holy Spirit. So we have the Scripture. We have the Scripture that is designed and is up to us to form attitude. What is our attitude towards the Scripture? They are revealed unto us by God, knowing what we can do to please God. Whatever it is that God wants us to do, He has instructed us in His Word. It's up to each one of us to make up our minds of what our attitude is going to be at this time in that mountain. What we need to do is to open the Bible, not just read, but study. Now the vast difference between reading and studying. Taking and studying the Word of God that will demonstrate that we are blessed, that you and I ought not to be ashamed, but we have a right or we do not misuse, twist, or rest the Scripture. The teaching that is included in the Bible. The Holy Spirit from God. I am born in the Word of God. Let's go. That man will be able to man committed that all minds will be restored, and they will succeed. How they could be or will be, but let's suppose that they were. How will this make you and I feel? And every time you and I feel, be based on the attitude that we have concerning the truth and the Word of God. And the truth, and God, and Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Bible is all about. What is our responsibility? And as we think about this idea, we need to recognize that God is the source of all truth. In John 17 and verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify Him by thy truth, thy word is truth. All facts to the word of truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16, that will rather stand fast and hold the faith which you were taught. Notice now by two things. They were either taught by the Word, or out of the Word, or by our faith. And you look at what Paul was saying to those who said, you hold fast to the Word. You stand fast. Oh, there's also notice the saying, you stand fast. Be unmovable. Always abandoning the work of the Lord. For they know that your life is on the run. Or they can hit them with what you do. Stop your bullshit. And as you look at it, it says out there, it's your bullshit. You look at that gun. And it says, look for the transgress. And go along with that. The Bible is not in the doctrine of God, have not done. There it comes. We either have gone, versus down here, that we don't have. And what makes this essential for all of us? Is what did I ask you? The war. The scripture. We either don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, or we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ. And what determines that is how we receive, and while we are, while we reject it, or we reject of the Word of God. So it is how we pursue the Word of God. And as you learn about this idea, some that are indifferent towards the Word of God. There are people that are just indifferent. They argue against it, they don't believe that which is revealed. It's kind of like the fairy tale. Even some people will say people that rely upon the scriptures and rely upon God are weak-minded people. Those are one of the people that talk to that nature. It is discouraging when people will not think, when people will or accept what is revealed or give heed to the Bible or serve us. You judge a group of people, and it's those that make up that group. If you have some that are indifferent, it causes difficulties upon the whole group. Sam, I'm on the way. I don't understand. I don't need to be concerned about the Word of God. Understanding what the Bible reveals from creation, the book of Genesis, and how God proved himself throughout the Old Testament should help us to have a relationship. Have you ever thought, what is it to show you? Of the Lord. Come on, brother. When you read the life of Job, starting in Genesis 37 and go to 39, and then you jump over to chapter 50, when you look at these men, you might worry, Joshua. Where do men like this come from? And is it possible for me? And is it possible for you to be a Job, to be a Joshua? I'm convinced. We better pray. Because we don't. Joseph was born that God chose. You and I, we're God chosen. But we're chosen by the gospel. The gospel is God's power of suffering, which I know the word from the Psalms 1. But as we begin to write the scriptures and as we look at the place of Abraham, and if you look at many of the other characters in the Old Testament, you and I can have the same thing. You're not playing a picture here. We started them off. To unbelief, but to be strong in faith, give and go on the way. And if we do that, brothers, we can have a place of refuge. All things are given to us from God. When you look at the bank account, what is that I ask you for? What about the food that you need? What about the water that you drink? What about the clothes that you and I have? What about the air that you do? Can you do with that? What is our answer to you for? Is that all we're doing in life for the job? For providing these funds. Don't you look at this book, in Acts 20 and verse 37. And I'm sure if you read the report from Paul to the Ephesians elders. And as you look at this verse, what do you say? And we're going to read the word. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. And do the work of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all men, which is my God. But is there anything more? When you read this verse, that we can gain from it to help all of us to have a better attitude towards the scripture. I want to mention this to us, and as we look at this verse, if we get nothing else, I don't know what else. The importance of realizing that what God has revealed unto us is not for man, but it's for God. And Paul here is taught that giving credit to God. Because notice what he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. So, what? Of all time. Not only that, but he says, and to the works of his grace, which is revealed in his instruction for all of us. And not only the words of instruction that we have, that is able to do something for us, and it is to build us up. That's the way God comes. And as we look at the next point that he says, and to give you an inheritance, that's it. Among all them which are sanctified, are the Lord. All come. God reveals it in the truth how you and I can have these funds because we know the Father. And what we have is these are in our minds to our spiritual world. which deals with source, instruction, results, benefits, and rules. Come back to gospel for a minute. The gospel is all power to save, as I noted earlier, and as we looked at from Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given of God, and we need to be appreciative of that. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, there it is. That is, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God from verse to verse. And the good. My Lord, I pray. This is like back to chapter 2, verse 4 of the book of the Bible. So what is salvation? And I'm going to use the letter that Paul wrote to Titus. And this is what I'm going to do for the Bible. And in these verses, you have the word of salvation. And what we see is verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Now we have in the religious world equal authority that we are saying the very same. And the universalist would be wrong if everybody would be so. And I will use the idea that Paul writes the time of year in Titus 2 and verse 11 that salvation has appeared with the whole thing. It doesn't stop there. You remember, I'm a person this morning in Isaiah 28:10. Precepts must be upon precepts, lines upon lines. Here a little bit of it. And we talked about this question. And after you talk about this question, that here we find that not only is the word of God revealed and appears to all men, but this grace has something more. And now something more than grace itself. Something more that the grace of God is involved in the salvation of man. And he is required to do something in order to earn salvation. Verse 12. The grace of God to bring salvation as appears to all men, as verse 11 says, but only what verse 12 says. This grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and moral loss that we should live solely righteousness and godliness in this verse 11. It teaches. God does his part, we must do our part. And verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glory of the Spirit of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the verse 14? To gain himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. What kind of people? A communion people. One is a people. Can we have a dream for doing the work of God? Or do we have an energy? You know, not have to. Really? You know, not have to. What is behind it? It's a magnitude that we have. walk at the time of the Lord. The gospel is wrong. When you look at this idea that the gospel is wrong, when you look at Matthew 28 and then verse 15, don't ye therefore think all mercy, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Talking about the attitude towards Jesus, as we talked this morning, here again. When you read the scriptures, or when you read the Bible, these are things that will work. And for this week, then we'll talk about what is our attitude towards these things, and that you will notice these things that we'll talk about. When you take and you open your Bible and you begin to read your Bible, you will see things that we've talked about in a general way, more in a specific way, as you said in your Bible. That's how we go through it, you know? That's how we develop a love for God and a love for the Word of God and do the work that God has given us to do. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 1. When you look at this passage, God wants His good news preached to everyone in the world. It is noted back to the charge that really that God gave unto the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. It is good news. And as you look at this good news, that we find, how are we heard? When you look in 1 Corinthians 15, that we are saved by the gospel when we are obedient to it. And if we're not obedient to the gospel, the object of that is wrong. That's like when you and I look at Romans 8 and verse 1. Well, it's on my way. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you look at that verse, and you can draw the conclusion beyond any shadow of a doubt. There is no condemnation in Christ. But on the opposite of that, there is condemnation to those that are outside of Christ. It's not from us. If we run with God's truth, walk with us. How do we come to know the things of God? By the truth. So as you build your understanding, and as I build my understanding when we study the Word of God, as we add these things up, here again, back to Bible principles. Line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you add all these things up, and what we have, you'll have the complete will of God. Furnish before you ask. That when we read, we may understand what the Word of the Lord is. And we understand what the Word of the Lord is, we'll be lost. In Ephesians 5, in verse 7, be not unwise, but understand what the Word of the Lord is. I want to mention a few things here that deal with the plan of salvation. And look at the things that he that believes in that time of God's life is taken from Mark 16 and verse 16. I'm going to go through these things. And look at baptism, and what the scriptures are concerning baptism, and the other things that are mentioned that will lead to the ultimate goal that all of us desire, and that is to be one saved or an annihilation and be in heaven after the judgment. Baptism is the cross. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for the many of you that have been baptized in Christ have put on God. We reap the blessings. And we reap the blessings that are in Christ. This is what Ephesians 1 verse 6, the first three says. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. What can we conclude from Ephesians 1 and verse 3? If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, the next question is, how many are outside of Christ? Zero. And as you look over in this, it brings the fourth coming. That war and you all things will be in great state, that they may also obtain the salvation, which is in Christ through the eternal glory. And what we say is, it's not right. He that believeth in the baptized will receive these benefits if we do it as the Word of God believes. The next point in this is being the word the same idea. The baptized in his own. By the authority of God, by the authority of Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is what is used in Matthew 28, in verses 49 and 20. That dies in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. Teaching them what? To observe all times what the Word of God commands, even unto the end of the day. When you think about this, we reach the vision of sin. Because baptism is for the vision of sin. When I shed his blood, that you and I might have the forgiveness of our sin. Without the shedding of the blood, that that's my vision of sin. The blood of the bull and goat could not accomplish. It took the blood of God that he was willing to shed his blood and to purchase the church through his own blood. It brings something. Neither is our salvation in any other, for there is no other name from the heaven given among men. For now we must be saved and hear again the coming for salvation. That's the baptism into the body. The body of the church is synonymous. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one spirit are you baptized into the one body. We reach the church when we are submissive and obedient to the gospel, and it will preach us. For the husband is the head of the wife, and even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the fruit of the body. And really, it's the way toward salvation. That is the best deals with the very in your other motives, the other than the money. We bear it with our Lord in baptism, we are ready to walk in the obedience of God. We reach the blood of God in baptism. The old man's head is put to death, so crucified for his life. And we are ready when it depicts the resurrection of God in our obedience to the gospel. It's running. It's running full. When you look in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Grace of God is bringing salvation and the fear of the Lord. But it doesn't stop, my brother. And as we know these things here, it's no good. When you talk about the grace of God, it deals with that which stops us. And you and I are responsible for that which God says in His word to do. To come forth and rescue from bondage. One another aspect I want us to look at is those who are obedient to the gospel. As you have in Acts 2, verse 4 to 7. Praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church service, such as you deserve. God will take care of his children. Man has nothing to do with the heavenly part. Man has the responsibility of being obedient to that which is under the sun. And if man, or his person, I should say, will fulfill their responsibility to God, they can have hope of the promise that God made that he'll fulfill that which he has promised. Ephesians 4, and verses 4 through 7, and I mentioned this in our lesson this morning. For several months, and as we talk about the religious groups, and many, or not many, but many, the vast numbers that have came into existence in the last 40 years, if we just cut Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7, and everybody would choose what these seven ones are, and understand what God has said concerning these seven ones, there would be no division. We will all be of the same mind and of the same judgment. Because that's God's design. And Paul writes of this in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. The seven ones are this. That is one body. Or one church. There is one spirit. That is one hope. There's one Lord. There's one God. I don't know where we all got the faith of the Lord. It's a shame that I don't know. One, when you talk about spiritual matters, it's pretty fine. And I don't know what the answer is. But that didn't work. Because the will of God is not informed by the will of man, but the order of God. Faith will never move from the Holy Spirit. You look at the one person. When you look at one dead person. How many religious groups there are that really does believe that that person is essential to salvation? And here, as you look at this, that there is one message. But what about the people that advocated and promoted and started that you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Tomorrow won't finish. And he said, there's more to you. What did I ask you to learn? What this one is? And whatever I ask you to is for what this one will come and will be offered. And hope for that. But either be a follower of God or be a follower of someone. That is one message. Would you? Is it one baptism or is it baptism to the Holy Spirit? As the apostle wrote. Would you? It is one baptism. As you find revealed in the scripture. That's not one in your life. When you read the book of Acts and you study the book of Acts, and you look at all the conversions that are given in that book, and as you look at these conversions, you will find that all the conversions that it mentions about Boy, or the seven, or confession. It don't mention every one of them in every one of the conversions. But back to the Bible question. He said, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I am here, and I am that way. And when you begin to gather all the scriptures, you'll find what God requires of all of our conclusions on the child of God. But the religious world won't do that. And as you look at what is right and what's wrong, and what the religious world are, well, when you look at baptism and those things, every one of them, every one of the conversions you read in the book of Acts, the one thing that the religious world does is not essential is mentioned. And that's that truth. And it's beyond me how it will take you to find this is the testimony of what that is not essential. Other than the idea is that they're no better than God. Isn't it? A new form of judgment on the day of judgment. If you go to some man, all of God's form of judgment. And what do we accept and what do we reject? The Word of God. You're going to be able to find it. And it's a little to all of us to be obedient to the gospel. One baptism has one God and one Father. In Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things through the church. Which is his body, which is the fullness of him that fills all in us. The woman is good. Now look at that. The eternal of God's eternal salvation. And when you look at God's eternal salvation, guess what? It is more common than the truth. It's not a secret. It's not a myth. It's revealed. And it's based on an attitude that you and I have. Was we have to be full of the truth to us and be the shepherds and obedient to us and move on with the down to it's more common than the truth. It is resilient than we don't. It's to be on the rock that you can touch and hold in God's word and you can see it and read it and study it. And really benefit from this word. Here. We open it and we see it. And we are one. That I am. Not only is it foretold in Scripture, not only is it revealed in the Bible, it's realized in the church. The call of the Lord. The old has been translated out of the darkness into the kingdom of the dear Son.